Let's get back to the Mole Hole with Randy Molman on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Mole Hole, everybody. My name is Randy Molman. You're listening on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. It's now time for Head Scratchers. Head Scratchers. A segment where I scratch my head in confusion. I scratch my head and say, why? Or I scratch my head at people. Say, what is wrong with you? This is what I do in Head Scratchers. My first head scratcher today, all of the Cardinal fans and those that are not Cardinal fans, talking about this latest Cardinal win streak. First time they've ever won six straight games on the road in franchise history. That's a head scratcher in and of itself. How has that never happened in the 100 plus years of Cardinal baseball? That's unbelievable. But for those of you talking about the Cardinals' poor opponents, the reason they've won so many games, the reason they're 6-5, look at their schedule. The teams they're playing are terrible. They're beating up on bad teams. And my answer to you is, so what? You have to play the bad teams. You have to beat the bad teams if you want a chance to win your division. If you want to make the playoffs. I can't really give them any credit for winning all these games because they've played bad teams. Let's see how they do against the good teams. How many good teams are there? Let's see. Washington's good. Is Cincinnati good? They're 19-15. I hear Cardinal Nation talk about, well, Cincinnati's not that good. They're terrible. They're bad. They're not right now. They're 19-15. Colorado, the Dodgers, Arizona, all good. So that's 1, 2, 3. Cincinnati's 4. Washington's 5. How many teams are in the National League? 15. The Cardinals can't play good teams every series. They're going to play bad or average teams. Those of you who say the Cubs are a good team, they are a good team, but they're 17-17. So does this mean the Cardinals are playing an average team this weekend? Of course not. Your definition of what a bad team is amuses me. Atlanta and Miami are bad teams, there's no doubt. But at the same time, you have to play them, and you have to win if you want to make the playoffs. I love this notion. I can't put much stock in the 16-5. I just can't do it because the teams are bad. The teams the Cardinals are playing are bad. Rick Hummel was on earlier this week on TMA. His quote, and I'm paraphrasing, was basically, well, if you want a chance to win the division and make the playoffs, you have to beat the bad teams. So, of course, it means something. It's not meaningless to beat the bad teams. So, enough about that. Can't people just be happy the Cardinals are winning games? They're winning baseball games. You weren't very happy after the first 12 games, were you? Now you got to come back and go, well, I don't know. Who cares? Stop overanalyzing. They've won 16 out of 21 games, largely against some of the bad teams in the National League. But you cannot win if you don't beat the bad teams. How? How, I say, how is this Magnera Sierra doing what he did? How? I scratch my head watching it. He comes up here from single A? He's only 6-for-17. 353 batting average. Only 3 strikeouts. He scored 7 runs in 4 games. He's not going to hit 353, right? If they keep him up here and have him play every day? No, he's not. However, he has provided quite a spark, as you know. He looks to me physically like Kurt Ford. Do those of you out there remember the old Cardinal teams of the 80s into the 90s? Kurt Ford, left-handed hitting, speedy outfielder. I'm not saying his game reminds me of Kurt Ford. He just looks like Kurt Ford. I remember when I saw him that first day, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy looks like the Kurt Ford. Anyway, Magnera Sierra, how is he doing it? Speed, man. You know it. Speed. Speed kills. His range in the outfield is ridiculous. He created so much havoc on the bases in these 4 games he's played. He's been a catalyst. It has been so refreshing to see. And how? This is where I scratch my head. How has he been so poised? How many kids do you see called up from single A, which is rare in and of itself? You call him up to the big leagues. You put him in the lineup right away. He starts 4 games. Looks like he's been there. He's calm. He's cool. He's having fun. That's what this team needed more than anything. This kid has sort of injected some energy and excitement into the team. Not just the fan base, the team. You see those guys standing on the top step of the dugout when he's on base. He gets on base and the Cardinals, the players, get up on that top step of the dugout to watch what's going to happen. He has injected life. You know, we talk about Mike Matheny teams and the clubhouse and how sometimes it's just so monotonous. Who's the guy keeping it loose? Who's the guy bringing excitement? Who are the leaders? And Dexter Fowler is one of those guys who has brought some, hey, man, calm down. Let's just calm down and play baseball. I love that about Dexter Fowler. I love the prankster that Adam Wainwright is. I love that Carlos Martinez plays with emotion. But what they've been missing is just a guy that just injects excitement, creates buzz. He came up here and immediately did that from single A. How? Well, he's not going back to single A, I can tell you that. Because what he's proven up here in 4 games is that his skill set makes this team more well-rounded. His skill set makes the roster, the major league roster, better. He's the best defender on the team right now just because of his range. I'm not saying, I don't know how he's going to be in terms of any of those zone ratings or balls that he tracks down or all the saber metrics related to his defense. All I know is this: he's going to get to more balls than anybody else. To watch him run, Tim McKernan talks about it on TMA, and I'm in the same boat. To watch him run and to watch him create havoc on the bases reminds me of the 80s running Redbirds and those Whitey Herzog teams. And I guarantee you, Whitey Herzog, in these last 4 games, has smiled and laughed more watching Cardinal baseball than he has in a long time, watching this kid play. Because it harkens him back to a different time. It harkens him back to the teams he built here in St. Louis. Speed and defense. And you can't tell me that, look, I don't know if you put this guy in the lineup every day what he would hit. I don't think he'd hit very well. I don't think he's polished enough to hit very well at this level all season. He needs more seasoning. Once these pitchers get a book on him, it's going to be very tough for him because he's only been at single A. But what I do think is if you put him in center field every day, let's say you did, let's say something happened to one of our outfielders and they were out for the year and you put Magnaris Sierra out there and played him every day, he would certainly help run prevention. There is no doubt about it. And when he did get on base, he would create havoc, which he's done. He's got to go back to the minor leagues when everybody's healthy because he's got to polish himself as a hitter. But boy, is it exciting to realize that we've got him in our hip pocket, isn't it? I am just shocked at how mature he was coming up from single A, how he made an immediate impact coming up from single A, and how he injected excitement into this team. And I'm not just talking about for the fans, I'm talking about for the players. When he gets on base, those guys get up on the top dugout. There is no one sitting on the bench, the top step of that dugout, and they watch. They're excited to see what he's going to do on the bases. Magnaris Sierra, welcome. What it also creates is a log jam of outfielders. You know what that means? Deadline deal. One of these outfield prospects is going to go. Sierra, Bader, Adolis Garcia, Mercado. One of those guys is not going to be here, I'm telling you right now, at the trade deadline if the Cardinals make a move. We also have Piscotty, who's young, Grichuk, who's pretty young, and Dexter Fowler signed for how many years? Someone's going. Maybe two of them are going to get something in return. So, wow. I'm just shocked at the poise and the impact this kid made. Magnaris Sierra. Shoot, if it were up to me, I'd DFA Johnny Peralta and I'd leave Sierra on this roster. I think he makes the team more well-rounded. He makes them better. And don't give me this stuff about, oh, well, we're not as versatile because we're losing an infielder, Johnny Peralta. Guess what? Aledmys Diaz has proven that he can step out into left field if you need him to. Jed Jerko can play all over the infield. Matt Carpenter can play second base, third base, first base. If you need to give Jerko a day off, or if you need to give Wong a day off, you don't need to have Johnny Peralta here anymore. And you have Greg Garcia, by the way. As a matter of fact, if it were up to me, I would DFA Johnny Peralta. I think I'd be I'd let him walk and see if anyone else wants to give him a crack, give him a shot. He's not going to get playing time here anyway. Tommy Pham's another guy. How about him? 3 doubles, 3 homers, 6 RBIs in 6 games. Good for him. I like to see him perform too because I think he's also got an exciting skill set. I would rather have him on the team than Jose Martinez. And those of you will say, well, Jose Martinez has been killing it. He hasn't. Last week I talked about his slump and now he's on the disabled list. Jose Martinez killed it in practice games in Florida, started off hot, and has been very cool since. I like Jose Martinez. Don't get me wrong. I think overall Tommy Pham brings more to the table. Anyway, I went off on a tangent here on my head scratchers. That was supposed to be about Mag Sierra. All right. Another head scratcher. Adam Wainwright. I just don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm not smart enough to know. Everyone talks about pitch location. He says his cutter's not there. His curveball seems to be there. His fastball's hitting 92, 93. And it's all about location. But let me throw this out at you. Here's my head scratcher. You got 35-year-old Adam Wainwright with a 6.37 earned run average. He's given up 53 hits and 35 and a third innings. 13 walks, 33 strikeouts. Let me ask you this. Can any of you remember any Cardinal pitchers in the twilight of their career that struggled late in their career, but then gave you a resurgence, gave you something. Let me take you back to 2002. 2002 is the year Daryl Kyle passed away, June 22nd. I was at Wrigley Field that day, by the way. That year, coming out of spring training, Andy Benes, in his last season in the major leagues, was on that team. He came out of spring training, and he was awful. Three starts, a 10.80 earned run average. He walked 12 and struck out 5. And he quit. He retired. He said, I've had enough. I don't have it. I'm done. This was in April. He comes back in July after the Daryl Kyle death and a stint in the minor leagues. And he came back after he developed a changeup at, what was it, 34 years old? He was apparently, I don't remember the whole story, but I remember that he came back to the Cardinals and said, look, I'd like to give it one more shot. I've been working on a changeup, and I'd love to see, just to see if it's there. I'd like to see what we have. They put him in the minor leagues. He did pretty well. They call him up. He comes up in July, and boy, did they need him with Daryl Kyle passing away. And in the second half of that season, Andy Benes went 5-2, a 1.86 earned run average. He gave up just 63 hits in 87 innings, struck out 59. In July, opponents hit 190 against him. In August, they hit 172 against him. And in September and October, they hit 257 against him. And he pitched in the NLCS against the Giants that year. This is a guy who was done, retired, had nothing left, couldn't figure it out anymore, and said, I don't have it. I'm not saying Adam Wainwright's at that point, but Adam Wainwright doesn't have it right now. How about we pair those two up? Let's get Andy Benes and Adam Wainwright on a bullpen mound. Let's get in Adam Wainwright a different pitch. Let's get him a changeup. Let's have Andy Benes talk him through that. How about that? Crazy? Is that crazy? I don't think it's crazy. You got to do something, because Adam Wainwright has not shown to be the old Adam Wainwright for a long time. Maybe it's time to say, look, I want to elongate my career a little bit and I want to be more effective. See if we can come up with a new pitch. A different pitch, a different looking pitch. So attention, Andy Benes, if you're out there, go talk to Adam Wainwright. What did you do to be able to come back from the dead that year? I mean, to be able to come out of nowhere and pitch the way you did the second half of that year and help that team make the playoffs and get to the NLCS. Andy Benes, Adam Wainwright, you guys need to get together. My last head scratcher has to do with, and I've talked about this before, and I always get texts that say, that's your first mistake, is going to the STL Today forums. So I go to the STL Today forums, the fan forums, and it's the NFL talk forum, which is still 90% Rams talk. Why? Most of them are LA Ram fans. Not even located here in St. Louis. Why are people in Los Angeles coming to a chat board on a St. Louis-based website to talk about a Los Angeles sports team? It doesn't make sense. Stop talking about the Rams on our STL Today forums. You're telling me there are no Los Angeles-based fan forums for you to go to and talk Rams football. It's an NFL talk board. I get it. You're going to talk about the Rams, right? They're part of the NFL. But every little topic, if you haven't had a chance, go in and look at it. Every little topic. Jared Goff's going to be better this year. The Rams are going to be better this year because the Cardinals are terrible. And then I mean, it's the same topics that if they were in St. Louis. If you're sitting in Los Angeles as a Rams fan, why are you coming to a St. Louis-based website to talk Los Angeles Rams football? It doesn't make sense, man. Go to an LA board. No one wants to talk Rams football here. Some might. Some might have stuck with the Rams. But I scratch my head at those fans who are LA Ram fans, who are in LA, who type in stltoday.com on their computers and go to an NFL talk board based in St. Louis for a team that no longer plays in St. Louis. Doesn't make sense. It's stupid is what it is. It's stupid. And you all are idiots. Go talk about your Rams on an LA board. Those are my head scratchers for today. Let me tell you a little bit about my friends at Provision Living in St. Louis Hills. Provision Living St. Louis Hills is an assisted living and memory care community located in the heart of South St. Louis. Native St. Louisans and transplants alike enjoy the convenience of urban living at the Chippewa Street location. That's where my dad lived for a year. He loved it there. Absolutely loved it there. Provision Living is within walking distance to shopping centers as well as historic landmarks like Ted Drew's and the Donut Drive-In. By the way, Donut Drive-In, hands down, my favorite donut place in St. Louis. Provision Living St. Louis Hills is known for their highly effective leadership and strong teamwork. The associates and staff go the extra mile to ensure that the residents are cared for in a very personal way with customized care plans developed to meet each resident's unique needs. Provision Living St. Louis Hills believes that well-being is paramount to a healthy, happy life, and their approach includes spiritual fulfillment, emotional support, and meaningful activities. Call 314-647-6600 to see for yourself everything that Provision Living at St. Louis Hills has to offer. That's 314-647-6600. I've talked about it before. My dad, who passed away suddenly in January, was living there the last year of his life. And he had Parkinson's. My dad's also deaf. So I grew up with deaf parents. And, he had some extra communication issues, right? When you're deaf and you're 70 years old, 71 years old, and you're going into a brand new environment with new people and new faces, my dad used to say he could lip read anybody, but he needed to learn their face. Right? Then you got to learn their face and learn their lips, see the way they talk. And that staff went so over the top to get to know him, to be friendly with him, to understand the language barrier, to be able to communicate with him. And they cared for him like I don't think anyone else could at that point. The reason we had to put him in assisted living was because he needed medication administration. He needed to be taking his meds for Parkinson's, which he would regularly not do. And that caused a whole litany of issues. Not going to go into it here. However, he needed to be somewhere where they could monitor his medication intake, which they include in their price at Provision Living. A lot of the assisted living places do not include that feature. That is huge. Absolutely huge, and was huge for him. But the care they took, the way they cared for him and took care of him and got to know him, he even started teaching some of the staff some basic sign language. It was really cool and really neat to see. And first of all, can't thank them enough. I thank God for them that he got to spend his last year of his life there. I wish it would have been longer. What a great place. Provision Living St. Louis Hills, 314-647-6600. If you're looking for an assisted living facility for your loved one, please consider Provision Living St. Louis Hills on Chippewa. just a fantastic staff that will take care of your loved one. And you, trust me, there are a lot of places that don't do it as well as they do. Provision Living, St. Louis Hills on Chippewa, 341-647-6600. When we come back, I'll take your calls. We're going to do a break here and then a short segment before the top of the hour. And if you have a phone call or you want to talk sports, also, I want you to text me, 855-282-8255, your top four stand-up comedians of all time, because we're going to talk about that today as well here in the Mole Hole on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.